Exclusive to Jacaranda FM, it's The Drive with Rob and Roz. Jacaranda FM.
Welcome to another episode of Safe Space. We're talking this afternoon about mental health relating to finance and work and money and that kind of stress. Our guests today, we're joined by Titi Mbao, who's a real estate CEO. He's done a lot of TV stuff. He's very, very well known. We're an absolute pleasure to have you here. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Clint Brink is here as well. He's an actor, SAFTA nominated. He's been in the industry for absolute ages. Clint, it's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
And Marco is here from Panda. Marco, how are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. Can't complain.
Good. Tell me a little bit about your involvement with Panda and about Panda itself.
Yes. So Panda is a mental health service. They have an app. So this sort of discussion where we're going to have here today, they have that on a daily. And then it's mainly a free service. Then you're able to contact a certain coach and continue that way.
Yeah, I've realized coaching is something that you've been doing for a while now.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I started part-time back in my university days and now doing it full-time. I love it.
Excellent. Guys, thanks so much for being here. I know this is a vulnerable space, and if you can't tell, there are actually a lot of people in the room, which is a strange way to have to do, you know, a vulnerable conversation. I wanted to ask, first and foremost, like, stress around money, stress around work. It's a thing. I read a couple of stats recently, like 1 in 10 men that they surveyed in the UK has had panic attacks around it. It's a major driver of depression and anxiety, and all of those things can have physical symptoms, diabetes, heart disease, all of those sorts of things. But at the very root of it, I feel like there's a conversation to be had around, why does money make us feel successful as men? Why are we sort of linked to that idea? What do you think?
So let me start off by saying that, you know, when I started the Amatama movement, which is really focused on fatherhood, the three pillars that we focus on as a movement are physical wellness, mental wellness, and financial wellness. And what's come of those conversations that we've had with different men is that the wellness of men when it comes to finances is something that's linked to their ego. You know, we as men drive our success based on finances. And as a result of that, the more conversations we actually have with men about finances, the more we realize that men are not comfortable to talk about money.
Yeah.
It's a space that is very uncomfortable for them because, like I said, it's driven by their ego. But at the same time, the more we get men to talk about the weaknesses when it comes to finances, the more you realize that my problems are not actually that big until you listen to someone else.
And I think that's an important point. We like to sort of, especially when it comes to money, we catastrophize.
Yeah.
You know, we take an idea and we run with it in our heads, and it becomes the biggest, you know, Mount Everest of problems. If this doesn't happen, if I don't get this raise, then I can't afford to keep up the car payments, then I'm going to have to give up the car, now the kids can't go to school, the next thing you know, I'm going to lose my job, and now I'm going to be out on the streets, and my family is going to suffer. And like, we just let it spiral.
Yeah. I think the question that needs to be asked is, firstly, you know, what is a man? You know, how do we define that?
Well, you ask a very good question. This is your area of expertise, Marco.
Yes.
What makes us men?
So I've been working really hard, and I finally found a definition that we can all abide by. I wish I'd make a lot more money and I wouldn't be here. What masculinity is something that has eluded many people for a long time, but traditionally we've had a set in stone definition, which, whether you agree with it or not, right, is there and can act as guidance. Now things have changed. A lot of things have changed. You know, there's less inequality and so on, which is great. Now we find ourselves in a position where we're living in modernity, this version of our the new world, and we're not too sure how we fit in. We're no longer going on the battlefield to, you know, fight this person and fight this person. We've also lost communities such as churches. Our families are disintegrating a lot of the time, the atomization of the society. So now how are we supposed to find our manhood, our masculinity, when there's no father, there's no brother, there's no other men in our lives? How do we define masculinity then? I find it very difficult. I had to look at a variety of people, online mentors, all sorts of things, to actually come up with something that works for me and that actually feels right for me.
Sure. Yeah. So then back to your point, what do you take out of it?
So I think, you know, it's a really layered thing, and it's the question itself, like how do we view ourselves, and how does that pertain to our purpose, not just as an individual, maybe as a you know, as being men. Firstly, we don't really have this community really often, and I mean, men are, whether we like it or not, the world is pretty harsh when it comes to judging men, when it comes to certain things. Like, if you don't have anything to contribute, like, who are you really and what are you really? It's really like that. Like, if you we measure everything by financially, how much you earn, you know, what does that equate to, what type of life it can get you, what would your circle then be like, you know, and what does that represent in the society, in the community that you live in. So I think everyone needs to dig deep and ask themselves that question. Firstly, like, is it something, your job and your purpose and your finances, is that the thing that really defines you?
Yeah. And can you be defined when those things are not there?
And it's so difficult, though, because the system imposes that on men. You know, the system requires men to go out there and earn more. You know, we're working a lot more than when we used to. I think a couple of years ago, you wouldn't see liquor stores be open on Sundays. They now open on Sundays till 5 a.m. till 5 p.m. You know, that says a lot. You know, everything's changed. The requirements and what we have to produce at the end of the day has gone up. Everything has gone up. But the other side of the spectrum, you know, who we are intrinsically and internally is stuff that we don't really debunk.
Yeah.
So I'm happy for this opportunity to just spitball a couple of things and get it out there, you know.
Yeah, you look like you're ready to spitball a lot of things.
It's just a haircut, bro. Don't
TT, you mentioned doing the work that you do, talking about mental health and financial wellness and so on, being part of the same process. There's sort of this temptation where if you're feeling stressed about this, if you're feeling like you don't know what you're doing, or there's a bit of pressure, the debt's mounting and so on, that ostrich tendency to put your head in the sand and ignore it, because otherwise it feels too difficult to deal with.
100%. And that's what happens with a lot of men, is that there's no platform for us to escape to. So here am I going through whatever challenges, whether financial or emotional. I run to Clint as a friend to go seek for some advice. Guess what he does? Ah, man up.
Yeah.
Man up, man. You'll be fine.
Mm.
So for me, it becomes more difficult to open up because I know the reaction I'm going to get from the next man. So we need to start, you know, educating ourselves about the power of listening to each other.
Yeah.
And listen with empathy. It's one thing for you to hear me say something, but it's another for me to listen with empathy.
Absolutely.
And understand from your point of view. So we were raised in a society, especially in the township, that a man doesn't cry. So the one thing that I've learned to do is show my kids that I'm human first before I'm a man.
Yeah.
So the word human is something that we need to get used to, because then you'll get to appreciate that it's okay for me to cry as a man. It doesn't take any of my manhood away, especially being a black man, because there's that thing that it's not cool for a black man to show emotion. And that's why you'll see when there's a funeral service, most men, you'll never see a man cry. He will grab those tears so hard, and when ish hits the fan, then everything comes out. And that's why you see a lot of men actually being violent. It's a lot of things that are bottled in.
Up emotions.
But at some point, something has to give.
Yeah. Mm. And I think there's a lot of that role that Clint was talking about, and that society gives us, and that you're talking about as well. We've got to, I suppose the stereotype is, we have to provide, but we also have to do it well, and we also can't struggle with it, which is a very unfair situation to be in.
Mm. It's directly linked to finding a mate, you know. What you're able to go out and get and what you're able to bring back home is directly proportionate to what you are able to find in the mate.
Mm.
You know, that's kind of like how the structure has set things up for us, is that the guy who's able to endure more stress and convert that stress into something positive, and who's also able to, you know, obviously economically provide in a certain way, the better you can do that, the better our chances at survival within a relationship and finding a mate. And it's quite sad for me because on the one side, it's made out or it's believed that men, you know, we lack serious emotional intelligence. It's just we just have a different way of, you know, getting it out there and communicating it. And I think these are the things that we ourselves as men need to be educated on.
Yeah.
You said, like, it's okay to be vulnerable.
Mm. Let me ask a question that we can bring in a little bit earlier in this conversation for the edit. So let me ask a question. Have you experienced times where finances were tough and it's affected you?
Definitely.
I'm an actor in the South African entertainment industry.
Definitely. I think if anything, COVID should have, you know, taught us that, you know. A lot of people were vulnerable. A lot of people's relationships were tested. Because here you are, you are now forced to live with these people that you never really lived with, if you think about it. Because we are in such a rat race of life, chasing this money, chasing everything, that lockdown actually forced us to literally lock down our emotions as well. And now you are forced to sit with your family, and as a man, you know, there's so much pressure on you. There's no money coming in, but the bills are coming in, and there's no one to speak to about that. You know, I'm gonna call Clint and he's gonna tell me the same thing. Hey bro, I'm going through the same.
Yeah.
But there's no way where we can literally have a conversation. And that's why we actually started the Amatama movement, so that men can feel comfortable amongst themselves. So we have men that are single, married, divorced, widowed, heterosexual, bisexual, and for us that actually opened up the world for us, because here's a platform for us just to be able to vent about things that affect men. There's a lot of things that happen in households where a man is in a relationship with a woman, and you know, sometimes women say things to men without understanding the impact it has on that man.
Mm.
You come home from a long day of working, and your woman is going to complain about the fact that you're not doing as well as Clint is. Mm. Look at Clint. So you start comparing me to another man, but you don't understand that you're breaking me down in the process of you comparing me to him.
Emasculating.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that's an important point, because I think being able to see each other's value as people sort of goes beyond then the role of you're the provider.
Mm.
You're the one who has to do X. Because you're talking about that thing where during COVID, if you phone up your mates and you're like, ah, bro, money's tight. And he's like, dude, I know. It's tight everywhere at the moment. I feel like as men, we often want to be solutions driven, you know, and that isn't always the right approach.
I think having the safe space to do so is imperative. It's actually paramount. In psychology, they talk about unconditional positive regard. You know, having this space like this where there is no judgment. I judge you. You've had bad finances. Yeah, I'm better than you. You've had bad judgment. You're having trouble in your marriage, kids, whatever. I'm better than you. You know what I mean? Okay, I'm just going to listen to you to assuage your wada wada, keep me here, I'm your good friend. But ultimately, the person really knows whether they're being accepted or not.
Mm.
And having a place like this, it's rare. I love it. I'm so excited to just be here and have this talk. I could have this all day. Unfortunately, we don't have that slot. yes, unconditional positive regard. And it's something that you can foster with the right people in your life. And explicitly saying it.
Mm.
You know, I think with men, we're known as, okay, being stoic is not saying a lot.
Mm.
They conflate it. Not necessarily true, although in Stoicism they reward the idea, and the philosophy is thinking before you talk, you know, being premeditated in that sort of way. But when it comes to our mental health and our relationships and the people that we trust, we actually have to explicitly say things.
Yeah.
You know, okay, babes, you know, I need to talk about this. I just need you to listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I need solutions. I always have that, you know, if I'm having a struggle, I go to my wife and say, okay, so I need solutions now, or I need to listen. And then she'll bring up something she's struggling with. I'll be like, okay, babes, is this solution or is this listening?
Yeah. And it's amazing. It's amazing how simple that process is, because if I come to you and I just want you to listen and you keep giving me solutions, I feel like I'm not being heard.
Exactly. Mm.
You know, exactly. It's literally that simple. And I mean, you can just ask.
Right.
Yeah. If someone came to you, someone you know, a friend, and said, I'm really having a hard time, I can't make the bond payments, I'm 6 months behind, City of Joburg's going to cut me off. Like, how do we go about talking to them? How do we approach a conversation?
Sure. Yeah, I've had a lot of those calls, especially during COVID, and because you are also in a similar position, it's you're not being helpful by telling that person that you're also in a similar position, because then you are basically
the
telling
them down.
yeah basically you're telling them they've reached
me too, dude. Good luck.
Yeah, they've reached a T junction. So yeah. What you could do is probably seek some numbers for that person. You know, there's those helplines, and just advise them to go there, maybe listen to someone, because there's no point in me lying to you and saying I'm gonna try and help you when I know I can't even help myself. Like, how do you even fill someone else's cup when yours isn't half full? So these are the conversations that come out of the groups. We also hold events that are specifically aimed at educating men about their wellness. So physical wellness, mental wellness, and financial wellness. So the reason why we focus on those pillars is really about, you know, self empowerment as well. You know, physical wellness is an important aspect of every man. You need to look after yourself.
Yeah.
Do we as men have conversations with our kids about menstruation? Do we have conversations with our boys about having wet dreams, about puberty? Do we as men sit with our girl child and tell them about the fact that they're going to go through a process of menstruating?
Or do we
pass it on to the wife?
Yeah.
Or do you have that conversation with your boy child?
Or do you have
that? Which is also important.
100%. And it's also how we raise our kids. We were raised, you know, in a society where we knew that the girls are the ones that wash dishes, the boys wash the cars. Why? Why?
Now these are the questions. Why are these roles so powerful and have so much hold over us? When you're talking about finance and dealing with these sorts of issues, and then obviously work as well, like, is there an expectation that you've felt, that you've encountered amongst other people in the business world? It's sort of rewarded to be ruthless, to be tough, to be get one over someone else. You know, aspirational traits are not necessarily the things you want in your friend, but in the business world, they seem to be okay. And I know business is tough for very many people. You know, some people are not comfortable speaking up or asserting themselves at work, or if you have someone you just cannot deal with at work and they're in a senior position. Like, but you also, coming back to the original point, you don't want to lose the job, you don't want to lose the gig, you don't want to lose the income. It's a difficult situation to be in.
When it comes to, let's specify these two things, when it comes to money and work, right? If you can think about a little matrix, I was thinking about this yesterday. You have money, have a job, no money, job, so on, all the variations. What about the people that are adhering to these gender roles, right? Okay, I need to be the provider, which is a great thing on its own. Let's not take that away. I'm the provider. I'm working a job. I hate it.
Working the a job money. You hate is a noble thing, apparently.
Apparently, yes. So we're doing these things. We're creating such hardship for ourselves. We come home. We want that release. We go for that beer. We go for whatever. We don't want to talk. No, so we work in these very hard jobs for just enough money, seemingly always just enough, and it gets worse. That's how it feels. Or more than enough, but you don't have that fulfillment there. Very hard to make a career change. Little bit more acceptable societally, you know, for females, if I may say. At least that's my experience. But I think we need to get to a stage where we can make those choices. And then the other side, no job, no money. Where is the purpose? I also want to draw a through line through what we are saying here. You asked the question about what is masculinity. I think what we've all agreed here is that it's not external to us. It's not that job. It's not the identity conflated with what we do in society. And if I'm a big name, I am something. Mm. I'm successful. Rather, I would focus on the internal. You know, do I stick to putting good food in my body? Do I exercise? Do I not abuse drugs? Do I take care of the people around me? People always want to sort out everything in society, but their home is dirty. Mm. They don't make their bed, you know, in more ways than one.
Yeah.
Their house is a mess, but we want to solve all the inequality issues in society. Oh, mm. Great, cool, noble, but you got to get your stuff in order first,
yeah.
I believe. And I think that's the basis for a man,
yeah.
At least
yeah.
My experience now. Would you guys agree?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think there aren't many conversations that inspire a lot of men to sit still and authentically carve out, you know, or write down or jot down or even just make this 3D model of who they believe they are. I don't think a lot of people actually sit down and ask themselves that question. Like, my wife, we've got this running joke in the house, you know, when a lot of people say, like, I want to be in the entertainment industry. What do I need to do? I want to go to gym. I want to be good at this. What do I need to do? She's like, Clint already has a stock answer, you know, is know thyself.
Mm.
For me, that has always been where I work from, you know. I see myself and I look at myself as honestly as possible. As brutally, I want to see it all. You know, the good, bad, and the ugly. From there on, I will have a diagram or just envision my highest self and the experiences that I will have as my highest self. Then I do my best to reverse engineer me from that point to where I am right now, and then kind of like have steps to get myself where I would like to be and having that experience in life. And I feel if you're not able to do that, what you're going to do is you're going to listen to the next guy who has an opinion on who you are, and you're going to take that secondhand information and you're going to make that who you are.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. It's so difficult, and we live in a world right now that seems to reward people for emulating things, you know. Mm. And we reject any original thought. We reject anyone that's authentic to the point where it separates. Like in the entertainment industry, you see it a lot, man.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's no better way to. Literally, the term is fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
You know, and you can fake it. And inside,
and become a really good faker, professional faker. Yeah,
but you know? Will be a faker. You will be pretending. You'll be putting this on,
and get so used to it. So on the issue of finances. So last year we had an event, my event, where we gathered men to talk about finances, and I asked men to stand up in the auditorium. There was about 500 men, and I said, if you've got a will, please sit down. You know how many men stood up?
Yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah.
So the question is, what are we doing as men to secure the future of our loved ones when we're gone? Because the narrative is that when you are dead, they're going to fight for whatever's left because you didn't prepare financially.
Mm.
And for me, it's just one of those things that we need to talk about as men and educate each other to say, have you seen how sad it is when there's families that are destitute there when you're gone and they have to fight for the crumbs?
Mm.
You've got uncles and aunts that just come from nowhere.
Mm.
They creep up from nowhere. But had you had the fortitude and foresight to actually plan for your family so that when you're gone, the little that you've got is left to the right people and the right recipients. So for me, financial literacy of men is something that we need to talk about, as uncomfortable as it is.
That's fantastic.
We need to, I mean, if men can go out to clubs and go show off their pockets through buying champagne and all of that,
yeah,
then we must be able to sit around the table,
yeah,
and do the same with bills. I'd rather pop title deeds than pop bottles.
100%.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That for me is value for any man that I can have an engagement with, because we are building a legacy of men.
Mm.
That are focused.
Yeah. Yeah, but that also speaks about, you know, of responsibility. Yeah. And that speaks of, like, it, you know what's gonna, it's either the short game or the long game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
What is that?
How's that for a transition?
Yeah, I said back to you.
Right back to you, bro.
Sure. I would love to talk about so many things here. It sucks we don't have 3 hours, but I want to come up with some solutions here, if I may.
Yeah.
You know, as a coach, I don't tell people what to do, right? My idea will not necessarily work in their lives. I don't think any mental health practitioner, right, engages in that way. Do this to get a better life. We give suggestions, we give tools, you know, and we create that space for you. So I would start off, if you are struggling, if you are a man out there struggling right now and you feel like you are in the sewer, which I've certainly felt like, without the certain people in my life, I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have gotten out of it. So as a tool, I think for the people listening is, there's a term in many books, self-help books, whatever you want to call it, emotional advisory board. So it's literally like a board, you know, you imagine like a, imagine a football team. I know you like Argentina. I'm Portuguese, so I'm going to say CR7 is the goat. But I know you're not going to agree with me.
Yeah.
But in a soccer team, we have lots of people in a team to create the result we want. We want to win the World Cup. That's what we want to do. Why do we always want to do things alone? Right? I think all of us here are successes in our own ways because of our mom, dad, brother, sister, girlfriend, whatever it is. So being very intentional about the emotional advisory board, what does that look like? Writing down on a list, who are the people that you can actually trust and about what? Because not everybody's got the gift to talk about everything.
Sure.
You know, this person can talk about finances. This person, I can talk about this too. Okay, cool. So write it out. Be very intentional. And when that relationship issue comes up again, right? Your wife is doing this or you go, whatever it is, then you go to that specific person. How many times have you guys been to someone you needed help so badly and that person just wasn't there? Being very like, okay, you know, as a matter of fact, this isn't the right person.
Yeah.
So I would start there as a possible suggestion or tool for the listeners.
Sure.
It's a good idea.
Talking about solutions, piggybacking on what he's saying. So on the 19th of November is International Men's Day.
Yes.
What are we doing as men? Think about it. On Women's Day, how many high teas are hosted around the country? It's insane. But here comes International Men's Day, it comes and it goes like it didn't even exist. So what we are doing as Armor Timer is we're hosting an event called Suit Up Sundowners. The reason why we're doing that is we want men to come dressed in suits. They must look good, they must feel good, come through and mingle with other men who will be dressed in suits. We're bringing a tailor who's going to teach men about the importance of having a suit, because every man deserves to have a suit.
I love it.
Because if you have a suit, you can attend a wedding, you can attend a funeral, you can attend your first interview. So the importance of wearing a suit, how do you wear a suit? Do you button both buttons? Do you leave the all? So there'll be an education around that. And then we'll bring in someone who's going to talk about mental wellness of men. We'll bring in someone who's going to talk about the financial wellness of men. And then we want those men to be able to network amongst themselves and get to engage. Women are doing it, and they do it so well with their high teas. It's high time that men have their own suit ups and downers where they can have a drink over a beautiful conversation and networking and have great people who are going to leave them feeling inspired. But most importantly, they will leave that event feeling inspired themselves. That I actually took time to look good for myself. Forget about the kids, forget about the wife, forget about the girlfriend of the day. Just focus on your wellness. It's International Men's Day. So I urge you guys to come through on the day. We'll host you guys. I know you're coming.
Yes.
You are one of the speakers, and I'm looking forward to actually engaging with you. So we've lined up some great speakers on the day. We will also have whiskey tastings. Just to make it a little bit lighter, we'll have performances, but only men are allowed. So it's for men by men. The chef is a guy. The DJs are men. The waiters are men. The guards are men. Everything is about men. Because for a change, we need to celebrate each other.
Can I ask you a question, though, on that, you know? I feel like we are moving into a time where if any guy, I mean, if you even check out social media, go onto Twitter, if any guy had to say anything positive about men, he's going to get slammed by so many things that are not positive about men.
Yeah.
Like having a man event in this day and age is actually so risky, you know, because there's this, all of these talks about toxic masculinity, you know, pushing patriarchal, certain, you know, how do you deal with that?
So very simple. So a lot of women have complained that men don't want to get involved. GBV, the biggest perpetrators of GBV are men. But when there's GBV walks and all of that, there's very few men who actually attend. So we're actually changing the script and saying we want men to take ownership of themselves and get to an environment where they can call each other out. What is the root cause of this violence that is happening around men? We must be able to sit and call each other out. You know, we sit and we're part of different WhatsApp groups. Do we call each other out when we put things that are not appropriate in those groups? Or do you just go, ah, I'm in this group, it's funny, let's keep it moving?
Yeah.
Do I go, no man, that was not appropriate, why are you doing that? What if that person is actually my cousin or my sister?
That's exactly the process of, you know, if you want to shut down and not talk about things because it's more difficult, then we can't create those spaces. We can only create the spaces if we're comfortable in those spaces.
Exactly.
And to get comfortable there, we need to be comfortable having conversations. So I'm very glad we got to have this one. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Exclusive to Jacaranda FM, it's The Drive with Rob and Roz. Jacaranda FM.